Nice. The referee is reaching into their pocket. What is it going to be, John? Oh, it's a red shirt, red card. That can only mean one thing. It's time for the Get Off My Pitch podcast. My name is Eric Paisley, and with me today is...
It's John Brennig. I'm wearing the red shirt. I get it now.
Yeah, it's a joke at my expense.
That was
off the cuff. Today's a rare day episode. It's a day game for us today, Sunday. And today, John and I will be talking about the Skyline Scabs of Cincinnati and the 1-1 draw against the visiting Boys in Gold. There were rumors of Shaq Moore's debut, but they were none to be had. Hani's absence hung over the entire match. And John and Eric are going to talk about how we grilled burgers and smoked some liquor, and it'll all make sense once we talk about it. So, John, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm good. It's been slightly overcast today, so it's not nearly as oppressively hot as it's been.
I did some chores.
But still hot.
Yeah, I did some chores this morning. We were just talking about doing chores. I got mine out of the way. Headed down to Mont Eagle this afternoon, so looking forward to it. So I do appreciate the move in time.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, so we'll run down our gut check on the reaction to last night's match. John and I actually watched this match together at my home. It was really enjoyable, so that was a lot of fun. We'll talk about our hardest working player, the MVP. Obviously, we'll ask each other uncomfortable soccer-related questions. And, of course, we will tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch. All right, John, just going to poll you real quick. What was your reaction to last night's match?
I was bummed we didn't win. It didn't feel nearly like some of the other ties we've had where it was like, oh, we had it snatched at the last minute or we screwed up. It was like, don't get me wrong, Cincy had some really good runs of play, and they got a goal from one of them. They had some decent looks, so it wasn't like a really bad team had a tiny window and got super lucky. They played some good ball. This is, again, not the Cincy team of 2019 and 2020. They appear to actually understand what soccer is now and have a couple good players. So it was a bummer. However, if you had told me that we would score a goal and tie a game in which Hani didn't play a single minute and, in fact, wasn't in the lineup, I would probably take that most days of the week because, as we've talked about, he is the end-all, be-all of our offensive power. So, you know, coming away with a one-goal tie is not a bad thing when he doesn't even touch the field.
Yeah, I was impressed with Vasquez. I was impressed with – obviously, I've talked about – we were talking about during the game. I was really impressed with Haglund. I've always liked him as a player, even though I think he – you know, he's a Cincinnati native and he's a homer, but – I do like him as a player. He's classy, and he's a really good player. Obviously, the rest of their city and team is trash. Sorry, Alvaro, my friend who lives up there. I do apologize if he does listen to the podcast. But yeah, we it's a rivalry game, but it's hard not to tell. It's not hard. It's hard not to give them the props that they did play very well. They played. Obviously, their crowd was very good. I particularly like the fact that their supporters stayed in it the whole game, even when they were down so early. It could have been easy for them to let off the gas pedal as far as support, and they didn't. So, hats off to them. But again, as we talked, it was a game we should have won. So it's a tie that feels like a loss because I feel like we should have won that game. Now, in context with Hani being out, and like you said, I do like what you said. If you told me Hani was not going to start this game, there was going to be no Shaq Moore, and we still got a draw, I'd take that. I'd take that every day.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's one of those, I always want to win, but when you give me all the caveats laid out on the line, I'm like, it's a road game, first of all, which, we have a slight tendency to play for ties in those, but a road game without Hani, Shaq not playing was more of a flow of the game. We were still up. It wasn't, if we were up multiple goals, I'm sure he would have been out there. But anyway, I'm sure Gary had reasons. So it wasn't bad, but I don't want to like celebrate or be happy. Cause that would be like Nick Saban saying it's okay to only win by 3 against Northwest Huntsville State Technical College. And that's not acceptable.
No, it's not.
So, I'm okay with it. I do think that we had a couple other opportunities. I think if Hani was on the field, we could have easily dropped 3 goals. I mean, just with his quality in possession and his shots and some of the chances he creates. Because, you saw like there were gaps. There were gaps to be exploited in their defense a couple of different times. And obviously, we got a goal pull off a set piece scenario, which, hey, you know, that's a nice thing.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about that later. There's important nuance to that. There's a lot I think that goes into that. I want to talk about that a little bit later, but let's talk about the hardest work. Well, let's go ahead and segue into the hardest working player, because I think this is applicable. I'm going to go ahead and just open the scoring book with the hardest working player for me was Teal Bunbury, because I feel like this was a game where he felt like he needed to step up. It was evident that he was active through the entire game, high work rate. His name was called several times by Jamie and Tony. And, you know, as we were commenting, he was really trying to possess the ball and make turns. Now, he didn't always succeed, but he was trying to do something different out there. And I feel like that took his game to the max. And I still think there's probably some conditioning, since he hasn't played a lot of games, obviously. So, I can see why you subbed him out. But I gave it to him. His goal was good. His goal, and I kind of alluded to this earlier, his goal was something was unexpected. Lovitz dropped the ball into the mixer, and it was someone we didn't expect got the goal. This is why I think Romney has two goals, and I think both of those were offset pieces. You know, everyone knows we're going to go for Zimmerman. Everyone knows we're going for Zimmerman. It's like, gee, who is Hani Mukhtar going to kick the corner? I don't know. Who could it be? Yeah. You know. So, and that's one of the reasons maybe I'm a little worried about Jack. You know, I feel like he should be contributing a little bit more in offense, especially if Eric Miller is that back role where he's the backstop, right? And Jack's in that mixer. I feel like he should be targeted more. What's your reaction to that?
No, I think you make some good points there. I also liked seeing Leal taking corner kicks from the other side, because Hani is a great player, but I do feel like he and Lovitz have had some duds in some of our free kicks. Now, if you're in front of goal, give it to Hani, because he's going to get it on frame. It's like, if you're in front of the goal, but some of his corner kicks have not necessarily been the best. So I would also, as we talk about trying to do things to change it up, to get people involved, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing Leal take a couple corner kicks from, I guess he was taking them on the left side, you know, just for the future, just to do something different, and to keep Hani, again, as the dangerous person that he is, on the field of play, and now they're accounting for him, because I don't know that Leal's ever scored a header for us. I don't know that Leal's done much in a set piece situation, but Hani could, you know what I mean? So anyway, I would like to see that. But my heart is working.
I want to reinforce what you said. You inspired a thought. Couldn't Hani, remember that? I thought that set piece, we'll talk about it, but I thought the set piece from Cincinnati was really good. I thought that was a training ground set piece, the goal that they scored with Vasquez.
Yeah.
I thought Hani could be that role where they kick it all the way back to him and he pinpoints it, right? He floats it flat and quickly into that mixer and someone gets it, like a CJ.
Well, and remember one of those ones that Romney scored was when we floated it to the top of the box and then put it back in from the top. So you basically changed the angle of attack. Oh, I'll knock myself on VAR for that next week. Okay. But you change the angle of attack because everyone's expecting it to come across. All of a sudden, it's at the front, so everyone has to turn. Now, because they're all the defenders are following the ball, you know what to do. You know that ball's going to come to you, so you can start sneaking out. You can lose your defender. Like, it just changes things up. So I agree. I think we could do some more with that. Okay. But to stay on topic.
Who was your hardest working?
My hardest working, yeah. I'm going to give it to Sean. I think he did a great job in midfield, holding it down. This was definitely a better game from Sean, like we talked about last week, where Dax had a great game in Seattle and not as great against LAFC. This was definitely a step up from Sean. He did some creative things. He was in the box a couple times. He had a cross to him and he didn't head it, which I don't think he's really the best person to be on that target. But he was the man on the spot, so he went for it. But he seemed like he was a little more open up. He pushed the ball a little more and was able to do that in the situations. Now, this game was definitely free-flowing at times. It was very back and forth, but I thought he did a pretty good job of pushing forward and helping with those situations of trying to, you know, generate some offense. So I thought Sean did a great job. I mean, I think you could also make an argument for both Lovitz and Wheel did some pretty good work on the sides because, you know, we were able to run past them on the wings. However, they did that. I mean, they put in the effort. I wouldn't call them they didn't necessarily either have their best games, no. obviously, with that, but they also did put in some good effort back there. So just honorable mentions.
I've noticed that my hardest working player is somewhat influenced by how often I hear Tony and Jamie mention someone's name mm-hmm. during a broadcast, during an actual, you know, when I'm listening to them.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm unduly influenced by that, but I think that they obviously see a lot more than I do, being much more experienced with the game than I do. So I kind of rely on them, but I like that. And I remember distinctly hearing Sean's name called several times. And even in the context of high work rate, which is also a trigger in my
mind. And I think I mentioned to you in the game, I don't know, somewhere probably in the early second half, he got, you know, stepped in front of a ball and intercepted it. I don't think it necessarily ended up with our possession, but he did that a couple times. He has that knack to just kind of, you know, be floating near someone, but get a step into the passing lane or something, you know, and kind of disrupt play, which is helpful too. Yeah. So,
All right. MVP, any thoughts on that?
You know, I'm going to compliment yours. I'm going to give it to Teal because I think he was important in the shape that we played. So yes, he scored the goal, but I agree that he showed more hold up play. Again, if we go back, we've seen two starting efforts from Teal plus some sub minutes and then a long period of injury. But when I look at this, like we talked about, CJ did not have a great game. CJ seemed to either, you know, get the ball somewhere around midfield and he would kind of hold it up and then wait for everyone to pass him. Like, I don't know. He didn't seem to be pushing the attack. Teal seemed to push the attack. Obviously Randall did, because Randall knows how to attack and that's what he does. But I felt like Teal did a really good job of helping push forward the attack, getting the ball, you know, from a long kick, whether it be a goal kick, a pass from the defender down the side, and continuing to push forward. Like you said, he a couple times looked for a turn. He succeeded a few times. Sometimes he didn't. But he seemed like he was really trying to get the ball downfield, and he succeeded in a few options. I think it's great he got the goal. It wasn't actually, I mean, realistically, it was just a set piece, so it wasn't from any of the efforts that I'm talking about that he really, like, he generated that. But he helped push forward and make a lot of progress, especially you know, because he and CJ kind of flowed in exchange sides. It seems like sometimes he flowed to the left to help Lovitz out, you know. But I thought he did a really good job of opening that up, because we've talked about recently No Godoy, who's great to, you know, dribble and take on defenders and push the ball. Obviously, Leal was doing that. But Hani's the other guy who's kind of the focal point of the attack. So we didn't really have anyone that we expected to put things through. And so I felt like we went a little more with over-the-top stuff. Mm-hmm. And Teal did a pretty good job of, you know, looking like Jonder, where you just punt the ball down there and he's going to hold up and either make a break for it or, you know, let the rest of the team catch up. And now all of a sudden we're all in there, you know, in the attacking third, pushing forward, trying to do something with it. So I thought he was key to keeping us in the game and generating more threats as it went on. Because after that, we didn't do a whole lot, you know, later on, especially after he was subbed.
Yeah. So. Teal's strategically, if I think about why he was there strategically, it was a vote of confidence from Gary and Steve Guppy that he was going mm-hmm. to be smart with the ball and he was going to bring it forward. I feel like one of the obviously the frustration we feel with some of the younger players and even some of our wingers, you know, Lovitz and Wheel, is sometimes they do, if they don't immediately see something, they don't even attempt to make a center pass mm-hmm. or they'll pass it back. Now, this game is an exception because I don't think I saw a lot of that. But in the past, it's been a frustration. So, yeah, that was really nice to see. And I'll second that. My MVP was Walker Zimmerman, because I felt like this one could have gotten out of hand towards the mm-hmm. end if Walker hadn't been, like, and I even commented, cool as a cucumber. Like, just ice in his veins, truly just, you know, had the game under control, you know, mm-hmm. knew that, hey, this isn't our night. Let's pull back let's get five in the back and let's see this thing out. And but still had the mindset to take the ball himself. And I kind of like that. This is two games in mm-hmm. a row now we've seen where Walker will get the ball and go down the field like a Godoy and draw mm-hmm. the defenders to him and look for an outlet. No, look for an outlet. You know, obviously the ideal would be Hani, but was looking for Bunbury, looking for CJ.
Yeah.
And watching Dax, you know, play his, you know, his traditional center back role. So, like, there's nothing better than that. But I see that's obviously something they've worked on in training, and it's twice mm-hmm. now we've seen it. I like it. I like it. It's out of the box. It's something different. I like it. So, again, Walker's my MVP for this match.
Yeah. I can feel that. I think it's a good one.
All right. We're going to take a quick break while John gets some more coffee. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some uncomfortable... You okay? Okay. We're going to talk about some uncomfortable questions, give you a great recipe for a smoked drink, and of course, we'll tell you who or what needs to get our pitch. So stay with us. And we are back. All right, John, you know, let's do some uncomfortable questions. Before we do that, though, how can people ask us questions on the internet?
Oh, yes. Via the magical thing that is the internet. You can reach us at @GOMP_pod on Twitter. You ask us anything, comment, whatever you want to do, reach out. We would love to hear it, and we would absolutely, you know, we can bring up those questions. They can be... We could have an uncomfortable questions from the audience. Uncomfortable soccer-related questions from the we. Soccer. That is related. The most important qualifier of context anything we say everything. In this podcast.
Context means everything here. Also, yes. Before we jump into uncomfortable questions, I do want to give a shout out to my good friend John on the podcast here. He brought over his Father's Day gift, which was I don't even know how to describe it. It's a smoked drink set. It's how you can actually infuse smoke into a cocktail. So he and I enjoyed some adult beverages, a nice rye based old fashioned, and it was very nice. I just cannot speak highly enough of that. So shout out to your lovely wife for purchasing that for a Father's Day gift. So very, very nice. All right, yeah,
it's a fun time. It's a fun toy.
All right, I am going to ask my first uncomfortable question. So I just got one, and.
Oh, okay. You said my first. I was like, oh, there's multiple.
Yeah, yeah. No. I actually came up with, I was at Target, and that always pisses me off enough to like have a lot of questions in my mind. But so Shaq Moore, how exactly is he going to help us score more goals?
That's the question?
Yeah.
Okay.
How exactly is Shaq Moore going to help us score more goals?
Well, if you watch some of his highlights videos, the thing is, he is a very successful crosser. Now, we've seen that Eric Miller absolutely doesn't know what to do with that. Wheel is decent, but not always great. The other thing is Shaq has pace, which Wheel is not a slow person. He has pace as well, but I feel like Shaq has pace with the ball, and he knows when to make runs. We've seen it some with the U.S. men's national team is when I've seen it most. Like he knows when to sometimes help and push up in those situations into interplay. Like I remember there was about two games in a row early this year where you and I talked about Leal and Wheel playing really well and interacting together and being dangerous down that right hand side. I feel like that's something that Shaq can do and do better. I think he's better with the ball, a little bit better dribbling. He could take on a guy and help open things up for Leal as well. So I think that interplay could be really, really good. I think, again, his crosses are also really good. I mean, his stats for this year in, I don't know what second tier La Liga is, we'll call it that, you know, one goal but seven assists, and most of those were from, you know, crossing passes. I also think he's willing to occasionally break forward with it, like, Godoy, break forward with the guys going forward. You know, Lovitz does it. We've seen it. I mean, that's what Lovitz's goal was, that rebound that came back to him because he broke with Hani and CJ, and the rebound just gifted right into his lap, and he smoked it right in there. That stuff I could see. Like, I don't feel like we see that with Wheel. You know, we had a great goal from the top of the box, but I don't feel like he necessarily breaks through on those runs as well. So I think he can bring a little more openness there. The other big thing is, I feel like he enables us to either play four or, you know, a three and then with wingers, and he can cover more defensively because he's got that bounce. So we don't have Eric trying to play offense. We have someone who I think is better than Wheel defensively, you know, coming back, because that is the other thing. Alex is good. Alex has tons of effort, but his quality on the defensive end is not necessarily as good. So I feel like, you know, whereas Lovitz, we know he can defend. He can also, like, I feel like it's bringing in a Lovitz on that side where he's quality on both sides. Alex and Miller kind of balance out, where Alex is better offensively, Miller's better defensively, but they're both a little deficient on the other side. So I feel like Shaq is a more complete player. That's all what I've seen. I have yet to see the product on the field, but I am optimistic, and I think that this could open things up. I mean, we talk about what we saw with AJ last year. I feel like we could look back and see some of that, where we just know that now we have something on the right side that in theory makes us balanced, and so they have to account for both things. And even if that small difference of, well, you know, who's going to cover Shaq? Is Shaq having a great game? Okay, maybe that opens Lovitz. You know what I mean? Like, it just balances us out because, again, Gary Ball's not going to change. We're not going to all of a sudden start funneling things down the middle and doing cute passes in the by. Like, we're still going to be a run down the wing, cross the ball in team. So I think it just improves that the success rate we'll have. I don't know. What, did you have any thoughts on that as you were prompted to think of it? Or
no, I seriously, this was a legitimate question. And sarcastically asked, because the fact that we can't score goals is starting to become a meme in the league. Mm. So I'm almost echoing some of the snark I'm hearing on the internet, right? Even in my limited, you know, world of non-social media, I'm still hearing it. Like, I still see it.
Yeah.
And it's legitimate questions. I mean, where are our goals going to come from? Because, well, now, Hani being out, we did get one for Teal. So that does speak to some game management and some coaching. So that's nice. And also in a good effort from Teal. Teal. So what about you? What you got from me?
Well, so before we do that, to build on that, I think he will contribute, but I think what we will also need to see to truly succeed is that we get more stuff like we saw off this set piece, because it opens it up for more players to score. And I think you saw, because Cincinnati doesn't have the strongest backline, I felt like we were better on those set pieces than we were against like Philly, even, you know, San Jose and some of the other ones we've mentioned. And I think that shows here. So, you know, maybe we can start actually preying on that, but we'll see. So last year we played Cincinnati and beat them 6-3. It was an entertaining game. It was great fun. You know who scored in that game? Ake Loba.
Oh, that's right.
That was his only MLS goal. MLS, not Open Cup. Now we have Teal scoring against Cincinnati this year. Does Teal get another goal against someone who is not Cincinnati? That is my uncomfortable question.
No, I don't think he does. You know, with the schedule becoming more stable for the rest of the year, I do see him more in that Cadiz role now. I see they trust him enough to be an experienced forward in possession to get the ball and to keep it from stupidly coming back in the midfield and being funneled back into a goal. We saw as his legs faded, as he faded, we saw our sort of possession play fade. And also to give Cincy the credit that they deserve, that they were also incredibly aggressive and were going for the win. And if I were a Cincinnati fan, I would, you know, obviously hate myself, but if I were, I would feel very good about the effort I saw against Nashville. Obviously disappointed we didn't get the team didn't get the win, but I could say, you know, boy, I like the fact that we were pushing for that win towards all the way to the end. So, no, I don't think he does, John. I don't think he does.
Okay. So my follow-on, though, and I think you've somewhat answered it, but I just want to hear you affirm an affirmative. Do you think he gets more playing time now, though, since he seems to be back and healthy enough to start? Okay.
100%.
And I guess, well, to elaborate, Loba didn't even – did he not make the team, or he didn't? I forgot if he was on the bench.
I don't think so.
Do you see him filling in what was previously allocated as the Loba minutes the last 10 to 15? Do you see that becoming Teal's role?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I mean, I think he's – Teal has laid down a marker that, you know, it's hard to – it would be hard to walk away. And it's also evident that maybe Ake is only going to come on if – Hani gets hurt now. Like if you have CJ on there and you just need, you know, you still want to have the attacking, you know, the attacking and speed up the middle, you still have Ake on, but it's only in a very specific scenario where Hani has to be subbed off because he's hurt during a game.
Yeah. Well, and I would tend to agree, because I think we've seen that Gary, when he substitutes, tends to substitute Ake for Hani or Leal or someone behind the striker. So I think that makes sense, but I'm just saying I could see Teal coming on for CJ or next to CJ or next to Hani in some situations. And what I'm trying to imply by that is I think he will see more substitute time. I think he may see it at Ake's expense, though, where we don't bring on Ake, where we leave Hani and have CJ and Teal up front to try and generate, you know, if we're behind, to try and generate some stuff or something. I'm just saying I can see him literally eating away at those minutes just because of it. But we'll see.
I don't know. I don't know about that. No. I'll have to, I would be interested to see if that happens, but I don't know about that, John. I don't know about that. All right. Time to talk about who or what needs to get off our pitch. John, I want to take you back in time. Way back when you and I were young, fresh-faced U.S. men's national team fans, and we were, you know, supporting our, you know, our country.
I was going to object and say we're still U.S. national team men's, but you're just saying we were young
stay,
and fresh.
Hey, John, stay with me. Okay. Stay with me, buddy. Stay with me.
Sorry.
And, you know, you remember back when we were playing some team, I don't even remember which, and their fans were in the supporter section. Do you remember that? They had to be like escorted out. They weren't making a fuss. They weren't even making a ruckus. I think it was Jamaica. And they weren't even making a fuss. But they, you know, everyone was like, hey, dude, you can't be here. You got to go to your own section. My red card is for fans, opposite fans in the supporter section. Got to get off my pitch with that stuff. And I'll bring it up because I thought, and I may have been hallucinating, it may have been the smoked liquor, but I thought I saw a gold jersey in the Cincinnati supporter stands. And the only reason I'm not giving that person a red card, I'm just giving the whole, let's not do that. Let's not be like that. The supporter section is for the home supporters. Don't be like that because then it will, you know, turnabouts to fair play. Then we'll have stupid Cincy people up in our supporters. We just don't want that. Like, just leave that alone. I don't mind if they're in the stands, unless they're Atlanta fans. I don't mind if they're in the stands, but let's leave the supporters alone. My red card is for, you know, sitting in the wrong supporter section. John, what you got?
I fully support that one. So mine goes to the entirety of the team and the organization in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Wow.
First of all, they beat Nashville, you know, a time ago.
Yeah.
Alvar, whatever that was. I'm not mathing today. And then they played well against Chelsea, went to penalties, and, you know, Rios got two PKs, one that scored the goal, and then the beautiful Panenka against.
I know.
But then you go and you let Toronto score four on you in the first half, but not only four, two of them were scored by one Michael Bradley. If Michael Bradley is scoring on you, you are in the relegation zone. You need to get off you need to get out of the MLS organization. You cannot let Michael Bradley be scoring on you, let alone twice. I'm sorry. This is just sad. Charlotte, you got to go. We cannot have this. We cannot have people thinking, it's the glory days of Bradley. No, there were no glory days. Stop it. Just stop it. They're over. They're gone. Long ago. Michael Bradley is washed up. He cannot be scoring two goals against your team. This is an embarrassment. You need to publicly apologize to every one of your fans that had to attend that game and see that. End of rant.
That was a good. Oh, John, I'm going to rank that one in your top 10. That was a good one. I'm going to pile on. If Abu Dunladi is scoring on you in the 70th minute and you're in a Premier League team, I'm using big air scare quotes. Okay, you're a Premier League team and you get rung up by four by Minnesota. It's a friendly.
But supposedly that was their starting 11. Like, I honestly wonder. Everton was, they were on the borderline. They took it down to, what, was it 2 weeks out when they finally secured staying up? I mean, I got to be sweating bullets if you drop into Minnesota, guys. I'm sorry. That's bad news bears.
Yeah, all right. Well, speaking of sweating, it is hot outside. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to preview the next match. Which is against Vancouver, I think. And hopefully, I wish they could bring some of that cold weather with them. And we'll also tell you what we got wrong, which is actually going to be a pretty substantial section. So stay with us. And we are back. All right, John, who are we playing and when are we playing them?
The Vancouver Whitecaps, which I guess is a reference to the mountains and not white-capped waves, which always confused me a little bit, but whatever. Yes, we're playing them at home in Geodis Park, 7 p.m. next Saturday. Should be decent. In theory, as I mentioned to you, there was something I saw on Twitter that someone mentioned. Matt Doyle alluded to the fact that Nashville did at one time have an offer into D.C. for Grassl. for Julian Grassel, but he's now over in Vancouver. So in theory, it's the what could have been right back battle for Nashville. We got Shaq. We could have had Grassel. Who's going to win? Let's see. I don't know.
I think we all know.
And they're not even going to be on the right side of the field, but whatever.
I'm
trying to find something to hype this up because I care oh so much about a team from Vancouver.
I know. I'm hyped that it's sad. This is sad. I'm hyped that it's a Saturday game. I'm kind of tired of Sunday night games, honestly.
All in all, I would say, the Sundays, the Monday morning turnaround sucks, if we'll put it that way.
Yeah. I kind of want to relax and enjoy myself beverage wise. Mm-hmm. And I'm too old and too responsible to do that on a Sunday night. So, just kind of, you're harshing my buzz there for Sunday night games. Enjoy this. But I am going to take, I think I am inviting my wife to this game. So this will be her first match, though she may demur based on the heat index. So I may end up bringing my brother-in-law, who is excited to see the new stadium. So I'll at least have one guest with me. So
what do you predict for this game?
I actually think it's going to be a low-scoring match. I think Vancouver has gotten a little cagier. I know they're bottom dwellers, but I think they've gotten a little cagier. They're definitely not going to take a lot of risks. Let's put it this way. They're not going to take a lot of risks in this game. I don't see them doing that, right? They're going to play pretty defensively, and with our lack of scoring, I think it's going to be a 1-0 game. We'll win, but I think it's going to be maybe a goal or maybe a set piece goal, but I think it's going to be a 1-0 game.
I'm looking back at their results to see, because according to this, they've let in 37 goals, which is quite a lot, and only scored 24, which we've scored 28. It's not that much more. Mm. They just had some lopsided results. They had a 4-0 loss to Seattle, a 3-1 loss to Minnesota, a 3-1 loss to Chicago this past week. So they've dropped some goals, but they also beat LAFC 1-0.
What?
MLS, there's so much parity. This league
that
is
doesn't
just
make any sense.
It just consistently. No, it doesn't. I'm going to go 2-0 because it's at home. I'm hoping Shaq gets an assist. There we go. 2-0. Shaq gets an assist on the second goal.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to call out just because it sounds fun. But I do think we win. I think we win. And I think we should look pretty good in this game. Again, assuming Hani's knock was as slight as it was in the recovery time, all that stuff, that he's back. And Godoy is supposed to be close to playing shape. So I would expect him to be in the lineup, probably not starting though.
No, he won't be starting.
And I would expect that. Now, just because this is the Nashville SC we're talking about, I have to mention to you that at game time next week, there is about a 60% chance of showers/thunderstorms. Mm. So since it's the Nashville, be for that beautiful weather delay stuff we always get.
All right, well, I'm going to hang out with...
Just keep an eye on it as the week goes on.
I'm going to hang out with our Latino supporter section, because they seem to have the most fun during weather delays. Oh, speaking of, and rolling right into VAR, I got some feedback from one Clay Tranum. I want to kind of...
We got an answer question about the...
We did. We got an answer. I do want to read it, so if you'll give me just... I'm going to vamp. This is vamping. I'm going to vamp just a bit before I pull it up. I should have had it ready, but I have it. Where did it go? Yes. Okay. So I'm going to recap. So John and I, this is the question. So John and I saw Clay LaSalle waving the flag for La Brigada de Oro, the Golden Brigade. Two-part question. One, is he, Clay Tranum, out on loan to La Brigada de Oro as a designated supporter? And two, what kind of gam did the Pharmapod get in return for that loan? I thought it was I thought it was very clever. Clay demurred on that, though. He said in response, for what it's worth, I've actually been a La Briga member since day one. I even helped launch and name the group. This is less a GAM loan issue and more of a Carlo Tevez joint ownership kind of thing. All in good fun, and we do appreciate Clay. He has been and is and will continue to be a fixture in the NSC scene. So always nice to hear from him. So thank you. Thank you very much, Clay.
And I'm not entirely surprised because, I mean, I could probably rattle off four or five people that belong to multiple supporters groups just because. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not surprised that he may be that and still is also a roadie, you know, or heck. I know some people were trying to – I heard rumors some people were trying to just sign up to all of them just to, like, say they did one year. I don't know, you know. It's, yeah, it's not an exclusivity thing. So, all right, on to other VAR.
Yeah, what did we get wrong?
Yes. So one thing I want to clarify that I said just because is I was talking about, you know, ways we could strategize. It's a word. Look it up. Don't look it up.
I'm not sure.
Set piece changes. I said we could use Walker as a dummy. I meant to use the word decoy. Dummy, I mean, yes, in context, I think everyone knows what I meant, but just using the word dummy in the same sentence as Walker feels dirty. And so I want to erase that from history and say, pretend that I use the word decoy.
Okay.
So there's that. The other thing is, last week, we forgot an entire freaking segment.
We did.
And by that, I mean, we did the hardest working in MVP for Seattle, and we had a good banter, and we just got lost in it and then didn't even do it for LAFC. So, on the spot, I'm going to go with, for LAFC, my hardest working player was Leal, and I believe I was going to give the MVP to Hani, and that's that. So,
Same. I had the same written down. In fact, I left it on my screen just so I would remember. Yep. Leal was all over the field. He worked his tail off in that game. In fact,
you and I both called the like 85th minute. Like, can we sub him off? He's got to be tired.
let us spare a thought for our good friend and hopefully friend of the pod, Dan Lovitz, for having to defend one Gareth Bale. So that was no mean feat, my friend. And so I do give him.
And honestly, everyone did a good job on containing him. But by the way, I don't know if you saw, he did score a goal this week and then almost had another one where he tried to chip the goalie and just missed. It was weird. Kind of sad.
I think Bunbury had that same. Well, remember the whiff that Bunbury had? I feel like that was the same thought process. Like he thought, I'm going to chip it over this defender. But he ended up like grounding his foot and then just like missing the ball, really.
Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, so that was definitely our worst VAR transgression so far. But, you know, we live and we learn. Right. So this is why we do this, to keep ourselves honest.
Yeah. Yeah. That is part of it. It is part of the reason. All right, John. Well, it's good to hear your voice, my friend. Thank you for coming over. We had a real good time. You and your son came over. And I hope to do that again soon. And I will talk to you next time, my friend. Have a good rest of the day.
Sounds good. We'll see you later.